This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Elizabeth Peake, a columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, a much on Fox Business, to comment on the midterm election. This is an ordinary midterm election. The president's party in power in the first midterm of any first-year president loses seats in the House of Representatives. That is something that is rarely challenged. There have been exceptions not worthy to pursue because we're in an economic downturn. And it's almost take it to the bank that in an economic downturn, the vote is against the president's party in the House of Representatives. Therefore, the so-called red wave is ordinary. The so-called attention to the red wave is about pocketbook. It's not about other issues. It's not about foreign affairs. Americans talk foreign affairs, but we vote pocketbook. It's certainly not about the Supreme Court or the matter of the president's ability to read or not read a teleprompter. It's about the economy. And Liz, do you see anything with weeks to go to the election to interrupt the opinion that the American people commonsensically believe we're going in the wrong direction? And therefore, going to the poll, they have only one thing they can do. They can vote for the other guy. Thank you, Liz.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think what stands out about the current shift in momentum, which certainly favors Republicans, is increasing gas prices, gasoline prices. And why that's relevant is twofold. One, everyone's aware of what it costs to fill up your car. And after 98 days of decline, that really seemed to be going in the right direction. And Democrats were benefiting from that. And so was Joe Biden. I think his approval ratings track more closely with gasoline prices than anything else. In the last couple of weeks, last 3 weeks, they started to go back up again. That is very damaging for Joe Biden. People are angry about it, but they're really angry about it, John, because they know that this president has steadfastly refused to do the obvious thing that would counter that increase in gasoline prices and oil prices, which is to encourage more drilling in the United States. And it's almost gotten to be, it is absurd. I mean, he is now, just now, our strategic petroleum reserve, oil that costs, by the way, less than $30 a barrel. So I don't know how we're going to replace that without a pretty big financial hit. But not in any event, he's taken already about a third of our emergency reserves. These are emergency reserves which are supposed to be used only in the case of a dire emergency, not because you're about to lose votes in a midterm election. And meanwhile, he's also blaming the Saudis and OPEC for cutting production. And they've come back and made it clear, and I think it is clear, that the White House asked them, begged them, not to put through a production cut until after the election. So I think voters are really incensed about this. A, the stupidity of not producing U.S. oil. B, the sort of blatant politicization of the entire issue and also of our relationship with Saudi Arabia. Americans are not stupid. They know that we are the biggest oil and gas producer in the world. If we wanted to counter a Saudi and OPEC plus cut in production, we can do it. But this president refuses to do it. And I think, honestly, if there's one thing that is a millstone around his neck and around Democrats' neck, yes, it's inflation, but it's inflation particularly because of energy prices, something that absolutely did not have to happen.
The recovery, 23-24, the recovery is going to require our allies to be healthy as well. I'm looking at Europe and Asia, especially Europe. Right now, the war is not obviously in any shape to predict what's going to happen, but we can predict that the energy shortfall is profound. And the Germans are already accepting the fact that their prosperity is going to be damaged. I believe the Brits are talking about rolling, the British people are talking about rolling blackouts. So, Liz, we cannot recover on our own, is my measure. And Asia is now dominated by a Chinese authority, Xi Jinping, who is turning away from the whole world, making bellicose remarks and saying we can invent everything on our own in our surveillance state. So what is your measure now? I mean, looking forward about our European allies, because I don't think there's any. Do you believe Europe has the measure to recover in time for us?
Well, I think you raise a good point. One of the problems with our economy right now is that Europe and China are both in such a slump. Europe, Germany is definitely going into recession, and they've basically said that. China, in the midst of this new gathering, party gathering, has decided not to publish their third quarter results, right, which is a pretty astonishing thing. So I don't see how we recover without the entire world coming along. We can do better than the rest of the world for sure, but this is a major anchor to windward. And I think it's going to make the Fed's job that much more difficult to navigate pretty choppy waters.
Yes, and the Federal Reserve cannot do this on its own, Liz. We also need, in your most recent column, we also need a Congress to pay attention and not spend money. So if we get a change of leadership in the House, for example, are they not going to spend money, Liz? Have they learned their lesson?
I wish they would not spend so much money. I think they have got to get religion on increasing the federal budget, which they continue to do year after year. Republicans have decided it's riskier to step in the way of harmonious budget increases than it is to appease hawks who are very alarmed about our federal deficit and federal debt. This is the kind of issue that only arises in dire times, John. We could be on the cusp of one of those times, just as we were in 2008. The Tea Party came up then, and they made the federal government stop spending so much money. I would not be totally shocked to see the same thing happen now.
As Liz writes in her most recent column, the Congress needs to spell out they will rein in federal spending, which a growing number of economists cite as the prime driver of inflation. Federal spending. We have it in our power right now to ease inflation by stop spending. Elizabeth Peake, writing at The Hill, writing at Fox News, a columnist much on Fox Business. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.